Are you ready, Flyer fans? It's the Anthony Grant Show, presented by Bud Light. Tonight's show is brought to you by Frickers. For over 30 years has been the home of fun, food, sports, and spirits. Bud Light, America's favorite light lager. Premier Health, proud to be the official healthcare provider for UD Athletics. Learn more at premierhealth.com/sportsmed. And by Logan AC and Heat Services, the official heating and cooling partner of the UD Flyers. Helping fans stay comfortable all season long. The Anthony Grant Show on 1290 and 95.7 WHIO. Now, here's the voice of the Flyers, Larry Hanskin.
And good evening, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Anthony Grant Show here on the home of the Flyers. As we head into the Christmas holiday coming up on Friday, and a little break for Dayton basketball before A-10 conference play begins next week. Joined by the coach of the Flyers, Anthony Grant. You can either be watching us on Facebook Live at the WHIO Radio or the Home of the Flyers Facebook page, obviously on radio, wherever you are around the world on the World Wide Web when you stream WHIO Radio. And, Coach, Merry Christmas to you in advance. Hey, I saw Chris in the background. Hi, Chris. You know what? We can laugh and we can smile because you know what? I think your team, and you will say work in progress, I know you will, because you're not where you want to be yet. But gosh, I've seen a lot of good things happen around Dayton basketball over this past week, including the win on Saturday over Ole Miss. And he froze up on me right there. The camera just froze up. But you know what? Your team coming off a gritty win over Mississippi State the week before, you had to come back and kind of grit it out yet again. The games were, to a certain degree, very similar in just what your team had to do from a resiliency standpoint.
Yeah, Larry, I lost you there for a second, but I think we're talking about just the results of our last game.
So
I thought, we knew coming into the game that Ole Miss, you look at their numbers, you look at what I saw on film, it would be the best team that we. They really get after you. They really, you know, take you out of the things that you want to do. And I thought in the first half, you know, early in the game, we really struggled. The first 5 minutes, they were extremely aggressive and our guys had to adjust to that. And I thought, you know, once we got a couple shots to fall, guys did a pretty good job of adjusting to that pressure. Like we talked about after the game, there's certainly still things you can look at and know that this team has some growth still in us that we have to understand. But I think just what we've seen so far in this early part of the season throughout the conference is different styles from zone to pressure man to physicality. We've played some a really good job of trying to take you away from what you want to do, and Ole Miss is probably at a high level in terms of the guys that we've played, teams we've played up to this point. So really proud of our guys for sticking to it and the resiliency they showed to do what was needed to put ourselves in position to win.
You know, there's a lot of stuff that you and your staff can coach up. I mean, the X's and O's stuff and the executions, be it footwork or just reactions and making mental decisions. But can you really coach grit? I mean, do you either have it or you don't? And it appears like you've got some guys that have it.
Well, I think, you know, certainly we try to talk about the need to have it. You know, and I think just the understanding of that's what's required if you're going to put yourself in position like we won the other night, and especially once we get into conference play, that's something we try to it's an aspiration every year for our team to be a team that can describe itself as gritty. So you try to definitely try to recruit to it, definitely try to coach to it, but certainly there's some innate ability you have, I think, walking in the door with that grittiness about you.
You know, five games does not a trend make. We've just only seen the Flyers in action against five games. And I don't really want to talk so much about what your team has done, but the way the teams are approaching you in these first five games, the one thread of continuity that I've seen is that so you guys are King Kong, and they're everyone's taking their best shot at you, which you got used to last year. But I think it seems to me the teams are being exceptionally physical and and really trying to get after your guys. How's your team responded to that?
Yeah, I think we're going to see that throughout the year, you know. And the one thing I think that you and I tell our guys this, you know, we watch film on our opponents and we try to say, okay, where are there areas where we can try to exploit, right? And so the games where we've played up to this point, two areas that we've talked about a great deal have stood out: our ability to take care of the basketball and our ability to rebound the basketball. So every coach probably that's on our schedule is going to look at it and say, hey, let's try to exploit Dayton in these areas. So until we make those decisions that we're going to, you know, fix those issues and take care of them, certainly every game you say, wow, this team is coming to Dayton and being really physical. They're really crashing the glass. They're really going after them and trying to turn them over. And I think, you know, obviously we've got a responsibility as a unit to accept that challenge and to be able to answer that challenge.
And there's things you can do collectively as a group and as coaches. But at some point in time, does it really come down to that individual player taking it personal? And I saw that at the end of the Ole Miss game was that Jordy Tsimunga, he took it personal and he secured a game-winning rebound just because he was just not going to be denied.
Yeah, no, that was a huge rebound for us. And I agree. You know, I think at the end of the day, that's what you want. And then I think as we begin to learn each other and learn what's needed, learn what roles we can fill to help our team be successful and become the best version of ourselves, you have guys that will want to step up and say, okay, I'm willing to fulfill that role as it's needed for this team to become what it's capable of becoming. So, yeah, I think with five games under our belt, we're seeing what some of those areas are, you know, like we talked about after the game, it's good to get some more able-bodied guys available again. Hopefully we'll healthy coming off of this break and, you know, have a chance to build some depth and continue to get better. And yeah, certainly I think, the need and the understanding of what'll be required for this team to become the best version of itself. I think we have the ability, you know, now it's just got to come down to the decisions and choices we make in terms of accepting those roles.
You mentioned getting some more bodies, and Elijah Weaver got cleared. He saw some action in both the first and the second half. How important was it and how happy were you to see him come in and just be a teammate?
Yeah. And then that's the whole key, right? So I thought he did a great job for us, you know, in the limited role that he played. And I said this after the game, I can't remember any other time, maybe before we started practice and pickup, that he actually played as many minutes as he played the other night with, you know, that combination of other guards and those bigs. So for him to go into that situation and understand the role that was needed and what he needed to do to fit in and be able to help the team be successful, I think it shows a maturity on his part, being a guy that's been in college and been in those type of games before, and what's needed and what he needs to do to help the team be successful.
All right. We are here with you on the Anthony Grant Show on WHIO Radio, the home of the Flyers, 1290 AM, 95.7 FM. Also, the WHIO Radio Facebook page, the home of the Flyers Facebook page. James Moon's out there. Hey there, Larry, go Flyers, he says. Teresa says, hey, guys. Jason Hess, definitely a very nice win. We welcome your comments. We welcome your phone calls at 457-1290. And we'll have more as we continue the Anthony Grant Show here on this Monday night, brought to you by Frickers, your home of fun, food, sports, and spirits.
The Anthony Grant Show on 1290 and 95.7 WHIO, Dayton's News and Talk. You're listening to The Anthony Grant Show on 1290 and 95.7 WHIO. Call now, 457-1290. Now back to the voice of the Flyers, Larry Hanskin.
And good evening, everyone, and welcome back to this edition of the Anthony Grant Show. Is our final show before Christmas coming up on Friday, and the final show after the non-conference season is the Dayton Flyers finish non-conference play at 4-1, albeit a shortened non-conference schedule. A-10 play will begin a week from Wednesday at home against LaSalle. And before we get into the overall view of your team, we would be remiss. I can't believe that we've gone this long in this show following that Ole Miss game to not single out Rodney Chapman for, you know what, doing what Rodney Chapman does. So maybe that's why it took us so long to talk about it, Coach, because this is what Rodney does. I've seen him do it before. You've seen him do it before. Unfortunately, there was only a couple hundred fans that got to see him do it Saturday at the UD Arena. He is an elite defender.
Yeah, you know, I think, you know, Rodney does so much, you know, and even going back to last year, I don't think he got the credit for the way he sets the tone for us, you know, both offensively and defensively and what he's capable of. I thought, you know, just his defense really changed the entire complexity of the game the other day in the second half and kind of gave us the boost we needed to kind of go on a run and take the lead. And I think from there, you know, be able to control the game, you know, and it was great to see him from an offensive standpoint, be able to have success and take advantage of some opportunities that pressure allowed. But certainly, you know, I think, you know, in terms of his value, I think he's one probably the most underrated defender in the country. I just don't hear people talking about his impact last year or, you know, what he's able to provide for us this year. And I think it was on full display for everybody to see the other night, and we certainly needed it.
You know, he is a very good defender. He's got great defensive instincts. And so does that help his offense when he kind of knows, you know, how guys are going to be coming at him with his defensive knowledge? Does that make him maybe even give him a little offensive edge at times?
Well, I think, you know, I think he's got the ability to start a run. You know, I think he had a 4-0 run in that second half with just his defense that led to easy run out baskets. And I think obviously, you know, like I said, Ole Miss was a team that we knew would come out and try to pressure and try to, you know, contest every dribble, every catch and every pass. And so we knew guys would have to be aggressive and be able to make plays at the rim and play north and south. And I thought he did a really good job, obviously, understanding that and being willing to go in the lane and be able to make plays for himself or his teammates.
There again, you know, five games is such a small sample to work with. But is it safe to say that in all five games, you've got the team prepared, they've seen the scouting report, they know what the opposition is going to do. But initially, when they see it at game speed, you know, there's a little adjustment involved. And then once they get adjusted to game speed, you know, then you start to see, you know, obviously better second halves of first halves and certainly better second halves. And does that really go to just the fact you guys haven't had a chance to play a lot?
Well, I think some of that goes to that. You know, last week, obviously, as we talked about, for us was finals week. You know, so we on time and weren't on the court on a consistent basis until Thursday. So we had Thursday and Friday to prepare for Saturday. And, you know, that's not something that you can kind of duplicate in terms of their depth and their pressure and their athleticism through what we have in terms of scout teams and what we're able to do in practice. So, yeah, there's going to be some adjustment. But I think hopefully for our basketball team, as we move forward, just understanding, you know, the need to be able to come out both halves and be able to play with poise and that confidence and that the ability to take care of the ball and do the things that we know we're going to have to do should we be able to accomplish what we want to accomplish once we start conference play.
You know, this is the Anthony Grant Show here on the Home of the Flyers, WHIO Radio, also the WHIO Radio and Home of the Flyers Facebook page where Steve is joining. He would be at Frickers. I know he would be, and he'd be front and center. He'd be stepping up to the Bud Light mic right now, but he's not able to, so he sends us this message. He's been a Flyer fan since conception. This team has strength in character. Trey, the vocal leader last year, who's the vocal leader this year? Who's going to be the guy that's going to call someone out before you get a chance to do that?
Yeah, you know, that's a great question. I think every team has to find their own identity, you know, and I think what I've seen of this team is you know, we've got four seniors. You know, we've got some young guys that are beginning to understand, you know, what they need to do to be successful. And I think that the thing I noticed about this group is they understand how to communicate with each other. You know, whether some guys need a pat on the back or some guys need a kick in the butt, you know, in terms of, hey, you gotta step it up and you gotta be tougher and you gotta be stronger. So I'll give them the seniors a collective responsibility to fill that void that was left by Trey and Orion and even Obi at times, to be that vocal in their own way, that vocal leader that this team needs. And I think they've all, those seniors, they've all stepped up in different ways through practice and in games to give guys what they need in terms of an understanding of how to help the team be successful.
And you mentioned something there I think is really important. You said in their own way, because mm-hmm. these guys, they're not Trey. And Ibby is not Jalen, and Jalen is not Jordy, and Jordy is not Rodney. They're all right. Unique individuals, but they all bring a little, and as such, they all bring a little unique way of interacting mm-hmm. as well as their presence on the court.
Yeah, and at the end of the day, what you want is you want an accountability that they each have for each other, a respect for each other, and a willingness to say, I'm willing to sacrifice whatever I need so that my teammates can be successful. And so every team goes about that a different way. You know, five games into it, you know, I think, and again, as we become whole and we figure out what we need to become, I think this team can find their way in terms of that leadership and that connectedness that you'll need to be a championship caliber team.
I know a big word in your team vocabulary is trust. And are you starting to see that being built?
Yeah, I think, you know, the last two games, certainly, you know, when you can win games like that, that certainly helps, right? Because now you've had those shared experiences. You've had to overcome some adversity. You've been able to do it together, and you've learned about yourself. You've learned about your teammates. So that, I think all that stuff helps you build that trust. You know, so I think as we move to the next chapter of starting conference play, this has been good for us to go through some of what we've went through. And I think just the understanding that, you know, we've played five different types of opponents, and each game has had a lot of different things that have been thrown at us. And each game really could have gone either way. And so guys step up and play certain roles and do certain things to put us in position, you know, where we were fortunate to be able to go 4-1 in those five games.
Five games under the belt and hopefully 18 more to come when conference play begins on December 30th. We'll talk about that. We'll talk about a new look in the roster, both on the court and even on the bench to a certain extent. And that's all coming up. We continue. It is the Anthony Grant Show, brought to you by Frickers, your home of fun, food, sports, and spirits, on the home of the Flyers Facebook page, radio, and the WHIO Radio Facebook page as well.
The Anthony Grant Show on 1290 and 95.7 WHIO, Dayton's News and Talk. You're listening to The Anthony Grant Show on 1290 and 95.7 WHIO. Call now 457-1290. Now back to the voice of the Flyers, Larry Hanskin.
Hey, good morning. Good morning. Old habits are hard to break. I'm actually off mornings this week, so in the studios tonight for The Anthony Grant Show here until 8 o'clock, talking some Dayton basketball, and there will not be Dayton basketball until December 30th. And Coach, I think that you made a decision that your mother would have loved, when you said, I'm going to send the guys home for Christmas, because I had a conversation with Coach Donaher all the way back when the day you got hired, and he was talking about the process of recruiting you and you being a Dayton Flyer. And he said, the only trouble we ever had with Anthony was that his mom just absolutely despised the fact that we'd have the guys back on Christmas Day for a practice. Well, your mom would be glad that you're not doing that this year.
Coach always gives me a hard time about some of the conversations we would have about some of the holiday times. But I think, Larry, we look at everything that has transpired from last March when the season ended to now, and certainly a lot of uncertainty in terms of what would happen with the upcoming year from an academic and a standpoint, and certain things that we had to put in place to just get the guys back on campus and to try to keep them safe, keep our staff safe, keep their families and everybody associated with the program safe. And, you know, like I said on Saturday, or was it Saturday? Yeah, Saturday after the game, you know, these guys have been really diligent to try to do everything they could to protect themselves and keep everybody around them safe. And there's obviously been, we've all been through some stuff in terms of this virus and how it impacts certain people and the uncertainty of who and who can be contact traced and affected, and just the mental toll that it takes. And then you compound that with the fact that they haven't been home. Their families have not been here to see them for the most part. You know, so we looked at a lot of different scenarios, tried to consider everything in terms of the work that they've put in up to this point and how we could best keep them safe. What to do is keep them here or allow them to get away. How we could help them keep their families safe. Just the next steps in terms of trying to get conference play started off and on track, and what was the best thing to do there. But at the end of the day, just kept coming back to, you know, just the fact that these are 18 to 22 year old sons and brothers and, uncles and nephews and they all have different situations where, you know, we're in a pandemic, but there's other things in the world that continue to happen. Life continues to happen. And we're not. And so I just felt like the more I looked at it, the more I considered it, and it really came down to, you know, the last couple of days there. I just felt like it was the right thing to do. And like I said, after the game, you know, we still have to maintain our discipline and our diligence to wear our mask and social distance and not put ourselves in harm's way and be around people that understand, you know, what we're trying to accomplish and what we have an opportunity to do as a team. We'll come back and we'll go through a procedure our medical staff has put in place with testing and with everything, all the protocols we have to go through. And we're hopeful that we can stay with that momentum that we have in terms of being able to move forward, and not have any downtime or any setbacks based on where we are right now. But at the end of the day, man, you know, I just feel like it was needed, you know, from a mental health standpoint, it was needed on a variety of different fronts.
Well, I applaud your players for doing what they've done to date, because, you know, I defy any of the folks listening out there to go to school full time, be a Division I college basketball player full time, and then deal with the protocols that are involved in this pandemic, and then just with the emotional strife of being isolated from friends and family. I mean, these guys are doing something that no one has ever done before, and I applaud them. I mean, I applaud you and your staff and the people who put the protocols in place, but really what it comes down to is each one of these individuals is taking upon themselves to sacrifice and to be a Dayton Flyer instead of just being a selfish individual.
No question. No question. I appreciate it.
Okay, well, we got Matt is out there watching us tonight on Facebook Live, and he wants to talk about something that I love talking about this because it's a very unique thing to this team. It was unique last year, and I think it's even kind of elevated a little bit, and that is that unique situation where you've got two really talented point guards on the floor at the same time most of the time. What flexibility does that give you?
Yeah, it's been great, you know, and I've at other places I've had the luxury of having that available to us in terms of the dual point guards. And, you know, I think just with the way that we play with our system, the more skill we can have on the floor, the better off we're going to be. And, you know, I think Rodney and Jalen are great complements to each other. I think they play off each other extremely well. You know, I think the flexibility that it gives us, and especially on a game like the one we just had, you know, a team like Ole Miss that can be disruptive and kind of take you out of some of the things you want to do if you don't have more than one primary ball handler. It's helped in a great deal in terms of alleviating some of those issues that you could face. And then the other part of it is, you know, and especially this early in the year, as we continue to try to build some depth, you know, just having different guys that can spell each other, you know, as much energy as Rodney expands on the defensive end and the pressure and the harassment that he causes, it's nice to have somebody else that can kind of take that load off of you if the other team's trying to do that to you as well. And then for Jalen, you know, being a guy that is such a prolific weapon in terms of his ability to score, but also his ability to create offense for other people, and just to be able to move him and put him in different situations where he can take advantage of his talent. So I think it's really good for us. And I think those guys, you know, at this stage, they can almost finish each other's sentence. I think they're on the same page in terms of how they think and what they do, and understanding, hey, this is what needs to happen on this action, whether the ball's in either one of their hands, they understand how to play to their strengths.
And you can add Ibby Watson, obviously, to the backcourt mix. Mm-hmm. And then now Elijah Weaver. And we touched upon it briefly that he got his feet wet and he didn't try to, you know, just take over or do anything. But moving forward, is that going to give you some added flexibility there?
Well, we hope. You know, obviously, I can't predict what will happen once we get back. But we certainly hope. It's great to have Elijah eligible and ready to go the rest of the way through. It's great to be able to get Kobe Brea back in the mix. You know, he's been out for 6 weeks here, and I thought he had a really good preseason leading up to you know, obviously the time that he got injured and had to step away. So I think you know, that combination of guys will give us hopefully more depth. You know, we should get hopefully in the next couple of weeks. Luke will be back, you know, from his surgery, his appendix, and then, you know, also adding Mustafa, another guy there, you know, that'll have to learn our system and go through that process. But I think just being able to have a full team available, you know, and again, all of this is, we're talking about this stuff on a Monday in the middle of a pandemic, so who knows at the end of the day, but you know, we hope we can move forward and continue to keep all our guys available.
Well, Coach Grant there mentioned Mustafa Amzeal, who was on the bench on Saturday for the win over Ole Miss. We'll talk more about him and how it all rolls out for him in the second semester at the University of Dayton. And if you want to give us a call, you can at 457-1290. We're also looking at your comments as you join us on Facebook Live at either the WHIO Radio or the Home of the Flyers Facebook page. And this is the Anthony Grant Show. And we are brought to you by Frickers, your home of fun, food, sports, and spirits.
The Anthony Grant Show on 1290 and 95.7 WHIO, Dayton's News and Talk. You're listening to The Anthony Grant Show on 1290 and 95.7 WHIO. Call now, 457-1290. Now, back to the voice of the Flyers, Larry Hanskin.
And welcome back to the Anthony Grant Show here on your radio. Also, to WHI Radio and Home of the Flyers Facebook page live. And Dayton now 4-1 after completing the non-conference schedule with a 65-62 win over Ole Miss on Saturday. Next action is on December 30th. That's a week from Wednesday. It'll be the A-10 opener at home against LaSalle. We've got Coach Grant with us here tonight as the team is dispersed to celebrate the holidays with their families and their respective hometowns and host families in the case of some of the guys. And a new face was on the bench for Saturday's game against Ole Miss, and that's one of your signees, so to speak, for next year, Mustafa Amzil, a 6'10 player from Finland, was playing at a prep school in Washington, PA, but he is now enrolled in school, and he's available to you the next semester. Is that correct?
Yes. Yes, he is. You know, and Saturday was actually his first day that he actually could be with us. So he's yet to have a practice, yet to really go through anything with the team. But he's excited to be here and get his college career started. We're excited to have him. And so, you know, now starts the process of trying to shorten that learning curve, so to speak, in terms of getting him familiar with, you know, what we do and our terminologies and our system and the whole deal. But we're excited to have him, and I know he's excited to be a part of the program.
And obviously there's a learning curve there, but something I saw, it may seem like a little thing, but I'm going to guess to you it's a big thing, is I already saw Mustafa really engaged with his teammates on Saturday. If someone didn't know any better, they would have walked in the arena and said, well, this guy's been part of the group for about 3-4 years.
Well, you know, he's a great kid, and he's been around basketball, you know, and he's a student of the game. So I think he's got a familiarity. He's been watching the games over the last several weeks since his commitment to us. He's kept abreast of what's been happening with us and familiar with all the guys. So I think, you know, he came in, he fit in really well. It was good to have him out there. I know he was anxious to join the team, and I didn't have the luxury of watching him on the bench on Saturday like maybe you did, and maybe the Flyer fans watching the game, but I think it's just who he is.
I think it underlines, I think, a real big point is that, you know, if this guy was somebody that your current players just did not want any part of, he wouldn't even be there. I mean, a prospective player's ability to fit in with your current roster, how big a part of that is the whole process of recruitment?
It's huge for us, you know, just the way we do things here, and credit to our staff. You know, I think that the big thing for us is making sure we get guys that fit our culture and the identity that we want to have representing our program, representing the university and this community. So, you know, we call that just a simple price of admission, you know, in terms of what we're looking for. And I think he fits really well with the culture and the identity of the type of guys that we have and what they're all about.
Let's talk about the non-conference schedule, kind of taking a step back and looking at it as a whole. And I hate to do this, but I can't help but say what could have been. But with what Neil Sullivan and your staff had put together on paper, a non-conference schedule that it was either going to have that, you know, that tournament in Myrtle Beach, or the one that took place in South Dakota, a game at Nevada. I know there was a couple of other pretty high quality games that were coming to the arena. I mean, this would have been maybe one of the better non-conference schedules we had seen in years. Now it's just pared down to just those five games. So you can't dwell upon what didn't happen, but based upon what did happen, how do you feel about the non-conference as a whole?
Yeah, well, I tell you, Neil, Darren Hurts, James Herring did an unbelievable job of putting, you know, probably 4 or 5 different schedules together the way it turned out. You know, as you mentioned, obviously when you're in the middle of a pandemic, you know, we have to understand that we don't control a lot of it, right? So the pandemic was in control of a lot of the decisions and opportunities that were available. But Neil and our staff's ability to pivot and make the best of the situation that was put in front of them, I give them, you know, an A plus just in terms of what they were able to do on short notice. I think, you know, we're all familiar with, I think we lost maybe, you know, the tournament, the November tournament to start the season and a few regular season games on short notice. So to be able to pivot and come out with the games that we did play, the five games that we did play, and be able to, you know, our guys did an unbelievable job of making sure they controlled the things that they can control so that we could play the games that we did. So, I'd say overall, under the situation, I'm pleased with what we're able to do. And you know, in the middle of all that, you know, we also had, just as we've talked about before, things that have happened, right, where we've had some key guys that have missed significant time because of some injuries that, you know, don't get necessarily reported or talked about. We just kind of deal with them internally. And, you know, so I think for us to be able to get the guys in the position that we were in to play those five games, credit goes to our medical staff, to Neil and our staff members that put the schedule together, and then the ability to get the guys prepared and their willingness to stay locked in spite of some of the things that were going on around them, you know, at times maybe having, you know, five or six scholarship guys available for practice, you know, and understanding, okay, we've got to continue to move forward and stay the course and control the things we can control. So under the circumstances, yeah, I'm very pleased with the schedule that we were able to put together. And then obviously our guys' ability to go out and try to maximize those opportunities.
And you won four of those five games. And I think the one loss was one of your better performances in the five games, albeit coming up just short. So, I mean, do you feel like your team has been, given the other things you've had to deal with too, but on the court, are you well tested, do you feel, getting ready for conference play?
Yeah, I think the thing you want to do in the non-conference, obviously, is put yourself in position where you can control your destiny as you move forward. But you also want to try to learn about yourself. So I think we've learned a lot, you know, just about our team and trying to figure out, you know, what can we be? What do we feel we can be good at? You know, what do we feel like we need to get better, right? And as we move forward like this time, that's really what's going to be on my mind for this week is, okay, the identity that we've shown we can have as a team, how can we maximize that? What do we need to add or delete to help us become the best version of ourselves? And then, you know, try to move forward, you know, as we hit conference play and to really put ourselves in position where we're doing those things. So, yeah, so I think to me, this is, you know, I can't sit back and say, you know, that we're not a finished product. Right now, I think there's certainly room for growth. I think this team is more than capable of hitting another stride, and so that's going to be what we try to do as we get ready for conference play. And listen, every game in conference play, you know, I think you can look at the success our league has had in the non-conference games. We've had teams that have played maybe as few as three games, and some teams that have played in the non-conference up to nine games. You know, we're sitting at five, I think the league's performed well. I think the league has proven that there'll be some quality depth, maybe more than what was thought in the non-conference. I think if people had to go, and maybe this is a thought, maybe we should wait until the non-conference is over before we try to say who we predict is going to finish where. Because I think some teams, you look and you say, boy, if I could do that over again, if I could change my vote, you know, it may be a little different in terms of, you know, what the way teams have performed. Nothing against the, you know, obviously the teams at the top or teams anywhere in there. But I think the league has shown itself that this is going to be one heck of a year, one heck of a race here in the conference.
Well, I'm not changing my vote. I'm still sticking with what I originally went with. And you know who that is.
No doubt.
Okay. All right. Well, that's going to wrap up this edition of the Anthony Grant Show. And we've got another show coming up next Monday, which we can talk more about what lies ahead in the conference schedule with the December 30th opener against LaSalle. But Coach Grant, to you, your family, your staff, you know, in many ways, personally, you know, I've been separated from my family in this pandemic. And to a certain degree, you and your staff and your players, you're that relative that I don't get to spend the in-person time with, and we have to meet this way. And so, as I am with my extended family and with you, my Flyer family, I say to you and your family, a Merry Christmas, and we certainly wish you all the best.
Merry Christmas to you too, Larry.
All right.
Happy holidays to all the Flyer faithful.
All right. We got another show coming up next Monday, the first game of the A-10, December 30th. And we'll be talking about that 1 week from today. Between now and then, though, I really encourage everyone to have a Merry Christmas and go Flyers.
Go Flyers.
WHIO Dayton, WHIO FM Pleasant Hill, a Cox Media Group station. Powered by Back to Business IT. Take care of your business. We'll take care of your IT.